Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The Knicks are doing something historic here as they enter, you know, the second half of the season, wrapping it up last night with the first half with a big win in overtime against the Hawks. But the Knicks, 36-18, that's something that they've only done three other times since the Pat Riley era, as I saw an Ian Begley tweet last night, through 54 games, 36 wins. And yet I feel like we're not appreciating them the way that maybe we should in this otherwise historic season.
Honestly, I think you could be a little bit more specific there. I think that you could say that I'm not appreciating the way maybe I should. Or I think you're enjoying the ride more than I am, quite frankly.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you could give your thoughts on it. I'm not appreciating it as much as I should. You're, I don't want to say hating on it.
I'm critical.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I've definitely been critical. Now, this is not 1993 where you get on the air and you just run through the mechanics of the prior night's game, you know, unless it's like a World Series game or something massive. But I do think that last night was very symbolic. I'm happy with the win. Don't get me wrong. Of course, I'm happy that they won. And yes, I realize that these last couple of years have been a lot of fun. But last night to me was very symbolic of what bothers me with the Knicks. Like, I know their record's good. I know the Knicks are good. And I know they won last night, but dude, you gave up almost 150 points to the Hawks, who just traded away DeAndre Hunter, who had just lost 10 of 14 coming into the game. And oh yeah, by the way, you didn't get the offensive rebound, which enabled the Hawks to have a clean look from the quarter, which if they bury at the gun, the Knicks would have lost. So I know that they're good. But they are not good enough, in my opinion, to be a champion. And that's where I'm at this point.
Yeah, but here's the problem that I have with that. They're still one of the best teams in the league. And the playoffs haven't started, and they're not fully healthy yet. So obviously, like everybody else, I watch them play the Celtics, and I think, oh, God. Like, I'll be honest with you. I'm more discouraged by that first half than I am encouraged, meaning can they win the championship?
Okay.
Can they beat the Celtics?
Same
can they beat the
kinda.
Cavs? Well, no, not necessarily, because you've been critical or doubting them from the beginning, and now you're critical of them, where I'm waiting to see what happens when Mitchell Robinson comes back, what happens in the postseason, while also saying, okay, yeah, great, we're nitpicking, but they're still, like, if they're that bad, how do they have the fourth best record in the NBA, in the entire league?
Because, you know, this is going to sound like an excuse and just to kind of fit my argument, but it's true. The Knicks, for a long time, had the easiest schedule in the NBA, and, you know, they were beating up on some bad teams, and I was looking at some numbers here, and I do think, especially in the NBA, I think it ties in because I think that we all thought the Knicks would be a better defensive team. And I know that OG's out. I know that Mitchell Robinson's out. But even when OG was here, you know, when they got Mikal Bridges, you know, we're sitting there thinking, all right, you got two lockdown wings, which obviously is going to impact in terms of their defensive ratings. Do you realize that the Knicks, and this just underscores how they're kind of beating up on bad teams and getting knocked around by the good ones. When the Knicks play a bottom 10 team, this is all based on record, they are the eighth best defensive team in the NBA against the bottom 10 teams, okay? Against the middle 10 teams, defensively, the Knicks are 25th. Against the top 10 teams, they're 29th. This is a trend. The Knicks look good against bad teams. They look against average teams, and they get squashed against good teams.
They just beat up the Pacers the other night.
Pacers are going nowhere. Come on, where are they going?
They're still one of the better teams in the league.
Anybody think the Pacers have a chance to win the championship? They got no chance.
But then everybody that's, like, there are a lot more teams below the Knicks than there are in front of them.
I agree with that.
Okay, so then we're talking about specific, you're talking about the Celtics and the Cavs. That's it. Forget about the Western Conference. You're only talking about the Celtics and the Cavs. There aren't anybody else in front of outside of the Thunder.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody else in front of the Knicks.
Well, there's not. That's true. And I'm happy that you point that out because maybe I need to provide additional clarity. Like, it's not that I have a problem being the third best team at this point. I have a problem when you fire the big bullet to put yourself in a championship position and the top team in the conference is so much better than you.
All right, but what are you
That's
supposed to
the
do?
Problem.
It's, they can't help that.
Well, but they could have. Maybe they should have made different moves, is my point. Maybe the move for Bridges wasn't the right move.
The Celtics were already loaded. What's the other move out there? Do you want Joel Embiid?
I mean, no.
Who else? Or they want Paul George, who quits on his team? Like, what was the other move that the Knicks are going to go out there and make that would have been different? Now, Bridges, I do think, has room to improve as far as his impact goes. That's the one thing maybe I've been disappointed. I want him to be and again, he's been fine, a good player, but I want Bridges to be a great player to go along with Josh Hart and all that he brings, obviously. Yep. Brunson and Towns. And I love Towns, Tough Bucket Towns. I was calling him that early in the year. Now that seems to be a thing with Tough Bucket Towns. But I do have significant concerns about him defensively. Here's the difference, though. I'm not looking at this team complete. You bring up a great point. Like, they've made all their moves. This is it.
There's nothing else to do.
But Mitchell Robinson is yet to set foot on the floor with this team.
I know.
That's a big piece. That is a big piece. And their biggest issue is defense. So when Mitch, assuming he does come back and he's getting closer, he's already talking to the doubters and the haters, you must have forgot about me. I'm going to come back and show how big of a piece that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Once he comes back, that, like, I'll admit, that's my only hope that they could be a championship team. Getting Mitchell Robinson back and seeing what he could do in the postseason. Because if it's not that, they aren't as good as the Boston Celtics and maybe not even the Cavs or the Thunder.
I'm hopeful that Mitchell Robinson can change my mind. I'm not banking on it.
Right.
I don't know where he is physically. We all know who he is as a player. We all know what he does well. We're very, you know, I mean, he's the longest tenured Nick. I mean, we know his game inside out. What's good, what's not. There's never been any improvements on the weaknesses. The good parts have been slightly embellished here. He was always a rebounder, always a rim runner, always a pretty versatile defender. But the deficiencies, they haven't remotely improved. Can't put it on the floor, can't hit a jump shot, can't hit a free throw. He's a problem at the end of games. I know he's good in terms of being on the floor offensively. You foul him, and that's a big problem. I also think that, and Jalen Brunson is amazing, and I do understand that Mitchell Robinson coming back, provided he stays healthy, is going to clean up some of the Knicks' defensive deficiencies. I know that, and I admit that. Jalen Brunson's a horrendous defensive player. And if Mitchell Robinson comes back and is not quite the same bouncy athlete that he's been based on the surgeries, well, then that's a different problem because now you've got, obviously, Brunson, who's a problem up top, and Karl Anthony Towns, who's not a good defender in the middle.
All right, but all that being said, right, those are the specifics of it. Don't you think, I mean, think about where we were.
I know,
were.
I'm a buzzkill. I admit I know.
Well, think about
I'm actually disappointed in myself. I hate that I'm saying this, but I got to tell you what I see, and I've watched every game.
Think about where we were for 20-plus years with this franchise. They are doing something that they've only done, and what did I say before, three times in the Pat Riley era since 91-92 with their record, and yet we're like, they're not a championship team. Like, you're going to go from, I guess not zero to championship expectations, but, you know, the Knicks went from absolutely nothing for so long to now it's, okay, well, they're not good enough to beat the Celtics or the top teams. Well, we don't even know that definitively yet because, A, they're not whole, and, B, they haven't done it in the postseason. Like, we got to see what they do in the postseason, this iteration of the Knicks.
This would be a weird, now I don't even know how this is going to come out, but because I do think this is important. The appreciation for where they are now, I admit it has been, it should be stronger with, like, the Nick force within me should be stronger. It should be.
Just enjoying it.
I admit it. It should be. And I'm mad at myself that it's not. But to lean on the 18-ish, 20-ish years of this century and how bad they were as the reason to falsely elevate how I feel about this group is something I can't do, and I'll tell you why. Now, you're dating a girl, right? We're not going to use wives. We're going to use dating, all right, because it's less intimate, right? Less personal. You're dating a girl. She's sleeping around on you behind your back. She's a drunk. And I'm not trying to minimize alcohol issues, but she's a drunk. She's dabbled in drugs. She's a disaster, right? You're like, I got goodbye. You break up with her. You have another girlfriend who is not sleeping around on you and is not abusing drugs. Again, weird analogy. I know.
Yeah, where are you?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. But she still does things that are, that there's still things in her personality that tell you can't marry her. So yes, it's better than the last one who was a disaster, but is it optimal? The answer is no.
But you don't.
And the Celtics are just a lot better.
Oh, okay, but then so every year it's going to be, if you can't win the championship, it's a waste of time?
No, and you know that I'm not built that way. You know that I appreciate the ride. I've said many times, and I don't want to contradict myself. I mean this. To me, and not that I've won a ton of I've won no championships outside of the Yankees, which I'm appreciative of, but none of my other teams ever win, ever. But to me, the elevation from morbid to competitive, I almost enjoy that more than the championship.
Right, okay.
Like Parcells coming in and fixing the Jets.
You don't like the championship or bust expectations, which is what it is kind of for the Knicks this year, but which is fair, right? You want to have that? I have those high expectations for the Mets.
You were like that with the Mets.
Okay, fair enough. But it doesn't mean that you can't wait and see and enjoy the ride as it's going on. Like, we don't know. Man, God, in the 90s, every year, if I was thinking about it logically, I would have said all those years in the 90s, well, there's no way they're going to beat Jordan anyway. Or, God, Hakeem is going to be standing there again, like, not going to be able to, not going to be able to take him down. I wasn't thinking that. Every year going in, they gave a shot. They had a shot. They gave us a chance every single year. Now, obviously, they fell short every year, a couple times in the finals, a couple times in the semi, whatever you want to say. But every year, I felt like, all right, maybe this is the year. And just because right now, in the first half of a regular season, where their records aren't even that far apart, just because we've seen Boston, and they have the pedigree, they won it last year, of course, just because we've seen them look like the better team, doesn't mean that in a 7-game series come postseason with Mitchell Robinson, that this next team can't beat them in a series or win the championship.
I understand that. Somebody could twist an ankle on the opposition, Cavaliers, although I do think getting DeAndre Hunter was a fantastic move. Again, my evaluation of these Knicks, this group, would be different if there was another move to make. But based on the cap restraints and based on the fact that the deadline's passed, obviously, based on the absence now of premium draft equity because they've used everything, I know that there's nothing else to do. And that worries me. And that also bothers me.
And this is the team for 3 years.
I don't think they're good enough.
But here's the thing. This is the first season of this team.
I know.
They're not whole, and it's one half, and they have one of the best records in the game. Like, those are three pretty significant things in their favor. Now, I'm not saying I think they're going to win the championship. I don't. And I was discouraged by the way that they looked. Even last night in that win, like giving up a
120. Last night was disgusting. We're celebrating that win. No, that was gross.
It is disgusting. So I'm with you there. And obviously deflating the way that they've looked against the Celtics. Whereas you watch the Celtics and you say, that is what a championship team looks like. So the Knicks have ways to go here. But they're in the conversation. They're in the fight. And the ball bounces one way in a postseason series. You never know. I'm not giving up. Plus,
but I feel that way more in baseball. Yeah. I feel what you just said. I feel that. I believe the stats would bear this out. It's just more applicable. The randomness of baseball, there's not a lot of randomness in the NBA. If you can't defend, I'm not saying something quirky can't happen, but if you're not a dominant defense, or at least a borderline elite defensive team, which the Knicks nowhere near are, they're nowhere near being right now, which is crazy. You're going to go home earlier than we want you to go home.
Okay, but think about it this way. And I know that you say, well, they made their move. Last year, you weren't concerned. You, BT, you weren't concerned. And me neither, but I'm just going on with you here.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't concerned about what that move was going to be in season because you knew that it was going to potentially happen in the offseason. You were saying that ahead of everybody else.
Okay? Correct.
And we knew Randall likely wasn't going to come back. Like, we knew all those things.
Mm-hmm.
You still weren't sitting there saying, well, they're not a championship team. I, if anybody, may have been saying that last year. Well, this could only go so far because they don't have Randall. Anunoby gets hurt. Like, there's a limit to where this Knicks team, even with DiVincenzo and Hardenstein, like, where they could go.
Yep.
I let that impact my enjoyment of the team, maybe, and you didn't. I want to know why this year, when they are better, statistically better, and have more of a legit chance, why you're not letting yourself, while you can say logically they're not the favorites or they're not going to win in your mind, but they have a this year they actually have a shot, whereas last year they did not after all those injuries.
That really is the crux of the matter right there. It's a great question. I'm happy you frame it that way. I'm contemplating it in real time. I want to make sure I give you the right answer. Not that I make something up, but I want to really that's a great question, and it deserves a great answer. Last year, I was number one, I was just enjoying a really fun and beyond what my expectations were. So I think I start there. They were better than I thought on opening night, and by the time they got to midseason and obviously the Sixers series before guys started dropping like flies, they were just better than I thought. So I was just innately enthusiastic about the moment, number one. Number two, I knew that they weren't complete, and I knew eventually a big ticket move was coming. And I thought once that move came, they would look better than they look now. That's right. The answer.
So they made their move, and you're not satisfied with how they look after making that big
Correct.
Move. And the expectations, always expectations versus results. What I'm saying is the results are incomplete, and through the first half of the season, how many more games do you want them to win? They have the fourth best record in the league.
Yeah, I know. I'm not too wrapped up in the winning percentage. Yeah. I'm wrapped up in the aesthetics of how they look every night. They just don't look the same.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Al is in Keyport. What's up, Al?
Hold on. I'm buttering toast. I got you. The thing is, their defense is terrible. I mean, it's like the other day with the Celtics. They look pathetic, though. I mean, they're supposed to be defensive-orientated, Thibodeau and all that. Mm-hmm. The one time when Tatum broke Achiuwa's ankles, he just stood at the foul line. He didn't even run out at him. I wouldn't let the guy play again if they didn't need him so bad.
Nah, I think Achiuwa's a real asset for this team. But you and I are pretty much saying the same thing, but I'm not going to start picking on Precious Achiuwa. He's very good last night. He's a good role player.
He's an ancillary piece. Like, that's not the issue.
But now he's not, and that's maybe part of the problem. Like, right now he's not. And then when Mitch comes back, and if Mitch stays back...
Yeah, well, I think the bigger problem is, and maybe this is a different conversation, but I think the bigger problem is their stars versus the Celtics stars. Tatum and Brown are better. End of story. Like, we love Jalen Brunson, and I love him, and I wouldn't trade him for anybody.
Love him.
But those two guys are better than... Tatum and Brown are far better than Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah, I'm not here to push back on that. I really like Karl Anthony Towns. I wish I loved him. I don't know why my mind does this, and I actually hate that it does. Like I do watch sports and kind of peek ahead, like that's. But you do it like that's right. What we do for a living, right. And that's whatever. That's the way my mind works with sports. And I look at Carl, and again, it's not so much about this year; it's about the championship window,
right.
For the including this year, but the window. Does anybody else look at Karl Anthony Towns and just see a guy who? And I know he was fantastic last night. I know that. I know he's a starter in the All-Star game. You just see a guy who just kind of looks slow.
Put it this way. You're...
A little brittle, just a little, I don't know, non-explosive.
You know how I felt about Towns, right? Saying he's the best big man the Knicks have ever had, and I stand by that. Offensively, certainly, no doubt about it, what he can do with the basketball. I've never seen a big be able to score.
I agree with you on that, by the way.
And maybe just even in general, forget about even a big. Like, he scores the basketball with ease from wherever he is on the floor, just something I've never seen before.
Yep.
However... When you watch him play closely and you see against some of the tougher opponents, just the way his game is, and you do the math on where he, when he was with Minnesota, how he struggled in the postseason.
Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I do not believe that he's going to elevate his game in the postseason.
Well, then we have a massive problem.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But it hasn't played out yet. And also, they may not need that. Maybe they just need him to keep his game the same. And let's say Bridges elevates his game. And Robinson being back can change things. Like, I need to see how they perform against the best teams within the postseason. The NBA regular season is kind of like exhibition. You hate to say that, but that's really what it's like. At least with this point for me with the Knicks. Where in years past it wasn't. At this point with this Knicks team, I want to see what they could do in the postseason. I have my... hesitation to say why I would think they'd be a championship team. Karl Anthony Towns, the more you watch him, the more you realize. And by the way, the game has evolved. So where he doesn't have to be like the 90s anymore. It's not like that. So maybe his style will work in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Who knows? I don't know. But he had a bad postseason with Minnesota, and there is just something about his game that I, and you as well, and I don't think we're alone, feel like it's not going to be at its best come playoff time.
And that's going to be a big problem for them, and he's going to get destroyed if that's the case.
Right.
Because this is the Knicks, and this is championship time, and if he ever performs, I don't know that he will, it'd be hard to replicate his poor, like, to that extent in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. If he ever put up that kind of performance as a Knick in the second round or the conference finals, they would be destroyed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
It's Al on the Fan. We'll continue with more of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019 on the Fan. Is the number to call. All you could ask for, at least for me, BT, as a fan, all I could ask for is the teams that we root for in this town, all the New York teams, but the teams that you root for is that they put themselves in a position to go out there and win it all, whether it's the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, the Yankees, the Knicks, I guess the Nets, right, whatever. Go out, the hockey teams that we all love, all the three local teams, go out there and put yourself in a position. I understand that can't be every year. Sometimes you got to go through a rebuild and all that stuff, and obviously some teams rebuild longer than others. But if you have the resources, especially when it comes to baseball, go out there and put yourself in a position to be a World Series contender. And in the Knicks' case, the way that they've built this team up, they have now put themselves in the position to be a championship contender. You and I can both sit here and say, well, they're not a championship team, but they are definitively, undoubtedly, can't debate it, a championship contender. Of all the teams in the NBA, the New York Knicks have a realistic chance. I don't think we should be overlooking that.
Well, I'm trying not to, honestly. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm pretty sure my feelings about this team, who I like, I just don't love them. My feelings about this version is absolutely adversely impacted by my feelings for last year's team. Last year's team felt different, looked different, hit me different. I think it hit the city different. And, I mean, I love that team as much as I've loved any team in a long time. And you know that because we did every show together. I love the crew. I love the connectivity. I love the identity. I love them. And I like this group. And there's a big difference. There's a drop-off. There's a drop-off in emotion. And the reason the drop-off in emotion to me is worrisome, because emotion's one thing, but then there's stuff that's real. There's more tangible stuff. But for me, the emotional drop-off is because of the drop-off in tangible stuff.
Yeah.
It's all connected, Sal.
I understand that. And look, maybe the Met fan is going to feel that a little bit this year. Well, last year, everybody got behind OMG with Iglesias and Grimace and all that stuff and the lovable team that overachieved. Well, that's different now. That's out the window. Now you have the highest of expectations.
That's an interesting
target on your back.
Yeah, I feel
we've talked about this before. Now, we got to see how it plays out with this Mets team. Maybe there's not going to be that love affair or that connectivity that it felt last year with the fan base. I don't care. I want to see the better team. I'd rather have the highest expectations, go out there and compete. The Yankees, you don't have the same feel for this Yankees team as you did in 96 before the dynasty. Right, Yankee fans, you didn't have the same feeling in 2009 that you did for 96 teams. But still, you want to build a team that can go out there and win a World Series, compete to get to and win a World Series. So I get the emotional connection to last year's Knicks team, but this team is better.
Well, better than last year's team?
Yes. They're better. They can win a championship. Last year's team, especially after Randall's injury, when the Knicks traded for OG Anunoby a year ago, I thought that that was the pinnacle, right? The apex of this group. You got Anunoby. They were on fire. They're beating the best of the best in the NBA. Then Randall gets hurt. Once Randall got hurt, to me, the championship hope was out of the equation.
Yeah, I knew they weren't winning the championship a year
ago. Now, you didn't love Randall as much as I did.
No.
But I wanted to see what they could do with Randall. And then, obviously, once Anunoby got banged up, we knew the nail in the coffin and the other depth injury, whatever. But once Randall went down to me, they could not win a championship. We had that conversation. We debated it, whatever. But that was my, like, the season is over because Randall is out and now they can't be a championship team. They still can't. Like, there hasn't been, knock on wood, that injury yet that, at least to me, would prevent them from being a championship team. As a matter of fact, the opposite, where Mitchell Robinson can come back and elevate this team potentially.
Well, I mean, think about this. So if they don't get destroyed with injuries a year ago, they're going to win the Pacers series. They're going to, you know, go to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose, but they're an Eastern Conference finalist, right? You put money down for this team to make the Eastern Conference Finals right now?
Well, again, you got to look at some of the matchups. Yeah, I mean, I think that they should. If they don't, it'd be a disaster.
Well,
Whereas last year, we can make the excuses for this team. For this year, if they don't make the, at the very least, the Eastern Conference Finals, it would be a disaster.
Think about this. Let's say the Mets are having, let's say we're sitting here in June and the Mets are good. The Mets are, let's just say, 4 games behind Atlanta.
Right.
Comfortably in the wild card. You know, definitely a playoff team. Whether it's the first or the second wild card, almost immaterial to the conversation now. But as most people expect, the Dodgers by far better than everybody in baseball. So the Dodgers are better, and we're sitting here. And again, they're 4 or 5 games behind Atlanta. Let's say they're tied with the Padres and in the neighborhood with the Phillies. But a playoff team, are you thrilled? I think the answer is no. And that's where I am with the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, look, but I also think it's about the postseason now, so you got to wait and see what happens. Like, ideally, yeah, you want your team to win the division.
Yeah, but I got to have an opinion now, like you have an opinion on where the Mets are in June. If that happens, what I just laid out.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just looking at the standings here in the Eastern Conference and trying to see where the Knicks would match up. I mean, there's a chance. Again, we don't know. There's such a long way to go. But if they're playing the Celtics in the semis
in round two,
yeah, then.
That's a problem.
Okay,
season's probably over.
But it's also like last year's team, they wouldn't have won a game then in the semis. If they played the Celtics in round two. I mean, again, we don't know, but that would have been the expectation where there's no chance to win. This year, it might line up a little more difficult for the Knicks. I'd rather face the Cavs than the Celtics prior to the Eastern Conference Finals. You're going to have to face one.
Yep.
But I'd rather take my chances with beating the Cavs than I would the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference
Finals. Oh, my God, so would I. But that is... That is going to be a hard series. Honestly, I think the Cavaliers are a little better than the Knicks this year. Yeah. I really do.
Me too.
I do.
Me too, but I take a puncher's chance against them.
Yeah, no, of course.
As opposed to the Celtics, who I almost deem unbeatable. I mean, that's kind of the issue here. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Ralph is calling from Rockland. What's up, Ralph?
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Hi, Ralph.
BT, I'm a big fan of you, but you're not really making much sense here, BT. I loved last year's team, and we still have a lot of those same guys. But we were never winning anything last year with that team.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we have a shot of winning something. So that got to mean something. We were never going to win with last year's squad.
Yep.
So,
okay. I was going to say, I agree. I agree with that. But, you know, think about this. You started off by saying I'm not making sense, and I know you don't mean it personally. I'm not taking it personally, but...
I know.
I don't mean it. It's all good. I think, quite frankly, I'm confusing a lot of Knicks fans. Like, if you followed... I'm not saying I'm some media superstar, but if you followed me for a long time, you know I'm a massive Knicks guy. That's probably one of my biggest identities within people who really follow sports radio. And I think this is conflicting a lot of people who have listened to me for a long time. I respect that. I get it. But the reason why it does make sense to me, and it's not even about loving the team, last year's team, yes, but... it's just this year's team doesn't seem like they've taken the step they were supposed to, like the logical step from last year to this year, and there's no other moves to make. So when you say it doesn't make sense, I think it makes complete sense. I think it makes, now forget about the emotional perspective. That's one thing. But just the pragmatic, bottom line, black and white evaluation of the Knicks so far, to Sal's point, that's why I throw in so far, There's season of go. So far, I think I'm on point. You might not like what you're hearing, and I get that, and I wish I didn't have to feel this way, but I do.
Yeah, but see, I don't get where you would say that you're on point based off of their first half.
Because nobody thinks they could beat the Celtics.
Yeah, but nobody thought that beginning the year.
Like, well, that's not true.
It was hope.
Whoa. When they brought in Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, they was like, okay, the Knicks are supposed to be on the top line for a championship team. And they're not.
They're on the
second or third line.
How do you say that they're not?
Because the Celtics beat the crap out of them time they play.
Who is on the
top
line?
It's not competitive.
Who is on the top line?
The Celtics, the Thunder. That's it.
Okay, so then there were two teams in the entire NBA, and the Knicks aren't one of those two teams.
Well, okay, am I nitpicking a little?
Think? Okay. I mean, they literally have the fourth best record in the entire league. That's like the fact.
That is a fact.
Okay, and then you could say that they're not a championship level like the Celtics or the Thunder. Okay,
I don't think they are.
But we don't know because we haven't seen this team.
Of course, but I got to give you an opinion in the middle of February.
Understood, but the last caller's point was you loved last year's team more than you do this year's team, and this year's team is better.
Well, but they're better than last year's team, but they're not, they haven't improved enough to my liking to satisfy and justify the moves that they've made.
Also,
that's what I keep going back to, Sal.
And I get it. The expectations from last season to this season are different. And
it changes.
And that weighs in. And it's not about being a Knicks fan homer where you can't criticize the team. I respect you saying that you have some issues with this team. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know what more they could do right now. Let's say they beat the Celtics by 20 in one of their matchups.
Yep.
I still think I would feel the same way. I'd maybe be a little more encouraged. Like, all right, at least they did it. They beat the snot out of the Celtics in the regular season. Was it last year or a couple of times?
Remember R.J. Barrett hit that crazy three a couple of years ago.
Like
they had some wins against the Celtics.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like they haven't
had that team, because that team had some more heart.
But in the regular season, it's different. And it's not like, oh, those wins would make me think, I can only speak for myself, make me think that they were going to beat the Celtics in a postseason series,
mm-hmm.
where this year I still don't think they're going to beat the Celtics, but they're better. I think they have a better chance. Everything that I thought that was possible coming into this season for the Knicks, meaning championship being the highest,
yep.
Eastern Conference Finals, whatever, getting to the final, I still think that's all there. I wouldn't say it's likely. I wouldn't say I'd bet on it, but it's all there, and they could only get better from where they're at, which isn't bad being the fourth best team in the league.
I'm going to meet you in the middle of the road on this particular aspect of the conversation. I agree that it's all still in front of them. This is not me, you know, eulogizing the Knicks. You know, it's not. You know, I'm not going to tweet out an obituary for the 2024-2025 Knicks. That's not my purpose. But there are varying degrees of confidence. You'll grant me that with anything.
Yes, of course, yeah.
So while I agree that it's still all in front of them, as you just said, that's a true statement, I think that you would have to now grant me, yeah, but you kind of hope you felt just a little different about this team at this point in the season. No?
Yeah, I would say that. But again, they're not whole. Now, if Mitchell Robinson either was here or when he comes back and yep. I still feel the same, that is going to be a disappointment. And by the way, not that it matters, but this, our opinions on this or feels on this lines up with how we felt a year ago. I did not believe once Randle went down that they were going to be a championship team. You love the team. You're all about it. DiVincenzo, Hardenstein, all that stuff. I always felt like they needed that extra piece or two
you
of
did.
Talent.
No, you did. I remember.
And now they have it. So I'm satisfied to that
but
degree.
But do they have the extra piece, but is the extra piece enough?
We're going to find out. At least in mind, it is to be a more legit championship threat or contender this year for now. We got to see how it plays out. But, I mean, I would say that I'm satisfied with the first half. Not over the moon encouraged, not super hyped about it. I'm satisfied saying, all right, there's room to grow here, significant room to grow as far as getting to the level of the Celtics or the Thunder or even the Cavs. You want to throw them in there. And maybe if the Knicks started like the Cavs, we'd be having a different conversation. But it's still possible with Mitch coming back.
You use the word satisfied. I would use the word, while still understanding that they're obviously a very good team, my word would be alarmed. And I did not think I would be this alarmed at this point in the season.
And to be fair, you were not alarmed, but going into the year.
From day one.
Right.
I was just eyes wide open, and this has been a consistent take for 3 months now.
Frankie is calling from Bay Ridge. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, Frank.
What's up, guys?
Yo.
Yo, alarmed. I'm alarmed, too. I mean, you're saying that, okay, as of right now, the halfway point, whatever, we're saying to ourselves, okay, that we cannot beat the Celtics. But in the beginning of the season, exactly, we cannot beat the Celtics. So you go out there and you throw all your chips, okay? You throw 5 first-round picks to get Mikal Bridges, okay? Listen, am I saying about the Cat deal, it wasn't a good deal? No, I mean, listen, you got rid of Randle, who's going to leave anyway, and you got rid of DiVincenzo, fan favorite, who's great. Yes, maybe you have to make that deal. But, like, after making those deals, and then you're still scratching your head and saying, we cannot stay on the floor with the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's not even competitive.
Like you do. They're not. I was there Friday. I'm like, wait. At tip-off, I said, hold on a second. Josh Hart can't even get to the hoop against these guys. Okay? And then you got Brunson, who's giving it his all to score 30. Okay? It looked like he was going to get hurt while doing it. Okay? Carl Anthony Towns, albeit, had a knee injury before that, but he's always had an injury. Okay, guy can't even move. The guy's walking like he's on quicksand during the game.
He looks slow, okay? Man. I know he's had some massive games. He looks slow.
Slow. Then the next game he puts up 40. Everyone's screaming. I'm not that fan to scream. Okay, you got waxed by the Celtics in the opening night.
And the Cavs
come into the Garden.
Yep.
What?
And the Cavs haven't played well against the Cavs either.
And the Cavs came into the Garden and smacked you as well.
And the Pistons won twice at the Garden.
Like, and you're giving up 150, although it's overtime, to the Hawks.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, Sal. Frank.
Yeah, I know, Sal.
Yeah.
Open your eyes. Don't put hope because you're going to get knocked down in the second round. I'm a big Knicks fan. Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder.
Look, Frankie, that's fine. I don't care, and thank you for the call. I don't care about your season tickets. Don't tell me what I'm seeing and what I'm not seeing. I was the one who was realistic about this team a year ago. Right now, I'm giving you my realistic take. They can win a championship. I didn't say they're going to. I don't think they're going to beat the Celtics. I'm like everybody else. I saw the same thing you guys are all seeing. But they can. Last year, they couldn't, and they didn't. So we saw it. The way that I felt going into the postseason last year played out exactly how I felt. They weren't good enough. They got beat. Matter of fact, I didn't even think they were going to beat the Sixers. And they did beat the Sixers, which showed some toughness. But I knew that eventually, without Randle and that talent, they were going to go home. They did. This year, I feel like it's still there in front of them. Is it likely? No, but we're now going to pick apart this team that has much more talent, that has the 4th best record in the NBA, and say, well, they're not good enough to beat the Celtics. Nobody is good enough to beat the Celtics. We're going to find out, but right now I'd say nobody is good enough to beat the Celtics.
I think the other thing that worries me about this, and we'll get more calls, obviously, we've got to take a break here, but if they were, well, I don't look at this Knicks team, and I don't look at anybody on the Knicks team, honestly, and say, okay, the player that they are this year, they're going to get better as the years go on. Brunson's a superstar. Mm-hmm. Some don't agree. I believe that. So he's already what he is. He's not going to get better. Carl Anthony Towns is an all-star. He's not going to get better. OG, Bridges, they've been around. They're very good players. They're not getting better. They're not going to become different players. Maybe you got a little upside with Deuce. Otherwise, the rest of the bench is completely on it. Well, maybe Kolick in a year or two, whatever. But, like, just look at the guys who play the big minutes. They are who they are. So, if you've got an issue with the length of the Knicks championship issue like I do today, you should also have an issue with the length of the Knicks championship window moving forward, because nobody on the team's going to get better.
Yeah, because this is it. So when we come back, I want to discuss what would have been the better move to make than what Leon Rose did to put this team together the way that he did.
You could always hop in your car and you can come and ring my bell.
BT is now back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. So what moves? Like, I get if you're saying, oh, well, this is the team, this is it. Well, they should have done better, could have done better. But what move was out there? Like, we heard about the Paul George options. We've heard about Donovan Mitchell years ago. Joel Embiid was thrown out there a little bit. What would have been the other moves that Leon Rose, and I'm not saying this is going to work out perfectly. Like, odds are, hey, it's hard to win a championship. For the Knicks, it was hard to be a 500 team or make the postseason for the better part of two decades. So it's very hard to go from that to all of a sudden championship team, they, especially without developing your own star, which they have not. They drafted their guys. They traded those guys. Bringing in Jalen Brunson, trading for Carl Anthony Towns. Like, it's hard to do it without at least having one of your top picks turn into a star and then maybe adding the other.
Mm-hmm.
And there are limitations to their stars. Jalen Brunson, you talked about his defensive issues. Same thing with Carl Anthony Towns. Like, they're not perfect superstars. They're ours, and we love them, especially Brunson. But what would have been the other moves to make instead of Cat or Bridges to try to build this Knicks team?
Well, I mean, first of all, you look at what the Lakers gave up, you know, to get Doncic.
Yeah, but
you know,
I think that was a...
I mean, whatever it was, it still happened. I mean, Anthony Davis is a Hall of Famer, but he's a 32-year-old piece of glass who got hurt the second game he played.
Would they have taken Julius Randle?
Probably not. I don't know. Probably not, but they only gave up one first-round pick is my point.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that, obviously, Anthony Davis, when right, is a first-team All-NBA player still. I get that, but like, they didn't give up anything for Doncic when you really think about it.
But you're not getting Doncic.
No, they would not have.
You could have gotten Anthony Davis potentially. Let's just say that was a real, and again, I don't know if it was realistic for the Knicks, but would you have taken him?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to confuse making a move and making a move for this year. Like, you in the NBA, you never know who's going to become available. Like,
right.
Doncic, right? So, and again, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have made the Bridges trade because I liked it. I didn't go nuts, but I definitely did like it.
Okay.
But, if it doesn't work out, then we can look back and say, well, maybe they didn't have to make the move then. Maybe they could have held on to their picks for another year or so.
Would you have rather?
Whatever.
Would you have rather? I'm just going to give you a quick checklist.
Yep.
Like, would you have rathered Embiid?
No.
Okay, me neither. Would you have rathered keeping Julius Randle and the group from last year intact as much as they could?
No, because they could not have paid Hartenstein more than $17 million. That was not their fault, and so no.
So he was out anyway. But Randle, the big piece.
No.
Okay, so you'd rather not that.
And I've got respect for Julius, but no.
And then the third part of that, because I agree with both of those,
yep.
And I like Randle more than you do, the third part of that would be, if not when they did it last offseason, when? Like, when was the right time to fire? Because you're right, you could theoretically hold out and say, well, we're not ready yet. We don't love Carl Anthony Towns fit.
Yep.
We don't love Bridges. We like them. But we, like, wait for what? Like, how much longer are you going to wait to take your shot?
Well, I would have made the trade for Carl Anthony Towns, but I think what you can maybe push back a little bit on is, when was the time to really give up all those draft picks? And listen, Mikal Bridges is good. He's had a couple of mystifyingly bad games, got off to a bit of a rough start, but he's a solid pro. You give up 5 first-round picks for a solid pro.
Well, that's,
5!
That's my issue, and now we're starting to get down to some of the reasons why I think the Knicks aren't as good as maybe people thought, and I think Bridges is one of them. When you give up what you gave for Bridges, he was not supposed to be a role player.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be an impactful star player. Now, I know there's only one ball, and Brunson and Cat are going to get the bulk of the scoring. Bridges has to be better and more impactful. End of story.
More assertive.
Or maybe more efficient, more assertive, all of the above. Now, maybe that happens in the postseason. Maybe it happens with a different lineup. Maybe it happens with Mitchell Robinson back. I don't know. Maybe it happens in year two for Bridges. But at some point, Bridges has to be, he's got to be a star player. He's got to be a top player.
He's not going to be.
But then that's a problem. And I don't think they traded for him thinking he was just going to be a role player.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, with Bridges, and again, he does a lot of things well, and I'm not trying to just, you know, punk him out here. He's a very good NBA player, but, you know, the scoreboard does and forever will read 5 first-round picks, which is why I push back. But it's not so much his skill. It's also his benign personality. And he's got no juice, man.
I don't mind the personality.
I do.
Because you don't need everybody to be like that good.
No, true. You don't. You can't have, you know, 5 right. Dante DiVincenzos acting like lunatics. Right. No, I get that. But when you're a fairly benign or vanilla personality, and he is now inserted into the equation, that's fine. But think about the personalities that walked out the door. Again, some of which the Knicks could control, some they couldn't. Dante was fiery. Right. Hartenstein was fiery. Randall was fiery. And I'm not always going to go back to the DiVincenzo well because he's hurt
as well.
You know, but I'm just saying, like, when you bring in players who just don't have a lot of juice to get to be repetitive, and you know, you lose guys who brought some edge. That's going to show up, man.
You're going to love what I'm about to say now. And this is not a compliment to Bridges. He's got some Charles Smith in him.
Oh, dude. Wow. You're pulling that card?
But think about it. Not in the performance level, but Charles Smith did not fit the personality
of that team. Starks, Mason, Oakley, right. Well, Harper.
And think about what they traded to get. Like the X-Men, you're talking about different personalities that the Knicks had.
That's actually a really, really smart way. I didn't even think that far back, but because we kind of forget, X was only here 1 year.
But Charles Smith, the reason why I said I think he was a good player.
He was good.
And he underperformed here. They had higher expectations for him. Supposed to shoot. Remember, they moved the 3-point.
100%.
Like so he never lived up to those expectations.
Bad knees
and,
as well.
And he also had that softer personality.
That disposition. He's such a gentleman. I know Charles. Right.
So,
he's a great guy.
So maybe the same thing with Bridges.
Mm. Well, that's not changing. You are who you are.
I'm just saying he's got some Charles Smith. Now maybe he can knock down the shot.
Talking about the dropping the hammer of the day.
He's
got Charles Smith in him. Yikes.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, continue with the conversation with your calls as well. 888-808-1019.